The theater. The theater.
Bring out Louis.
Theater. Theater.
To be or not to be.
Theater. Theater.
Crew.
Whoa.
Here.
Whoa.
Bam.
Whoa. Bailey. Yeah. Bailey. Bailey, you're so far away.
I know. I'm so literally. Far away. Literally. But I miss y'all, and I've missed you in recording land too, because it has been a while.
It's been a little bit. Been a little bit.
It's been a little bit. It's been a little bit. And honestly, this season, the three of us are extraordinarily busy. We have a lot going on. So basically what we're doing is posting episodes when we can.
Yeah.
We're going to try and keep it consistent, but we've had some things.
Some life things, art things.
Art things.
Yeah.
Fringe is coming up. We're getting, you know, everybody's working on Fringe. There's just a lot.
Yep.
Living in Fringeville.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a guest today who's got a lot going on too, which we'll talk about.
Tell me but about it.
I think we should just hop on in, because I want to get to our guest and I want to get to talk about what we're talking about, and then I want her to be able to plug all the dope shit she's doing and plug all the dope shit y'all are doing too. Welcome to Theater, the theater podcast for theater nerds, made by two theater makers from the LA theater scene and Jay Bailey Burcham. That's right. I'm not in LA right now. I'm doing about 6 months in a whole new world called Vermont, where I'm working at Northern Stage. Check it out. It's an amazing theater that's doing incredible work. Our next season rules. But I'm not in LA, so I can't do the intro as normal. But I'll say this. Three theater makers who love each other.
Oh my god,
new theater.
Oh my god.
I'm Jay Bailey Burcham.
I'm CJ Merriman.
I'm Scott Leggett, and I wasn't gonna cry.
In this season, each week we get together to discuss we discuss and debate the intersection of theater and film.
Yes.
Now, that's just for the season. We're trying it out. It's kind of nice so far. This week, we're doing something a little different. I'm going to pivot it to the film relation. But this was just kind of something we all did together and was very fun. So we kind of wanted to talk about it in terms of how it relates to theater. And so we'll get to the film pivot point later. But we are joined by one of our dear, dear friends who also joined us for this adventure that we took that we'll talk about. You've met her before, you love her, you know her, whether you're a part of Fringe or a part of this podcast family, Pam.
Hi, everyone.
Pam Quinn, everyone.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, I always feel torn in the beginning because I want to interject, but I haven't been introduced yet. But Bailey has always said, feel free to talk. You don't have to be scared. Right. But I've been listening to the Smart List podcast where they keep the guest a secret from the other two. Mm-hmm. And I love it so much. And then they have no idea. And then the screen pops up. And I was listening to the Martin Short Steve Martin one today, which I implore all of you to go listen to. It was such
an amazing, beautiful episode
of that crazy podcast. It was great.
Awesome.
That rules. I like Blank Check, where they pretend like this guest is always on the episode.
That's fun.
They all just start talking, and then they're like, oh, we're joined today by this amazing person who has an Academy Award or whatever. much like you, Pam Quinn.
I do have a couple Academy Awards, yes.
Yeah. We love you so much. We appreciate you joining us. Yeah. And you have a lot going on right now, so I'm excited to hear you pitch it all later.
Yes. I'm excited to pitch it later.
Do you want to throw? I mean, I want you to like fully plug later, but if you want to talk about any of it right now, like you have an album coming out, you have multiple Fringe shows.
Yeah. Well, I did just release an album. It's an album under the Casper and Pam brand. It's our third album under the Casper and Pam brand. And it's more of like an EP for spring. And each song is represented by a month in the springtime. And I wrote it with my best friend, Dan Testa. And it is fun and sweet. And you can see the quality of our songs with each album is getting better and better.
Nice.
I'm not a music producer, but I'm doing the best I can. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's on bandcamp.com and you can get it there.
Hell yeah. Well, we appreciate you joining us. What, Scott?
Well, I was out last night with Pam and watched her get recognized by somebody.
Oh yeah.
Oh, cool.
They were like, "Do you have a dog?"
No, it was so yeah, cuz she was like, "Wait, do you have a dog?" And I went, "It's me." I was a couple beers in. I didn't know how to respond.
Sure. That makes sense.
It's track. Me.
Yeah. Well, Pete, you're a dear friend of the pod and of many people in the theater community, especially in Los Angeles. And we appreciate you joining us. We also appreciate you joining us the other day for our escape room adventure.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about escape rooms. Yeah, it was an adventure. It was really fun. It
really was.
We got to go to what I consider, before I left LA, I wanted to do something special with my crew. And this is my crew.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, I would like to go to do what is considered one of, if not the best escape room in Los Angeles or possibly in America. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hell yeah. Now, whether or not we agree with that statement can be discussed. But I had a blast. It was called Lab Rats. By mm-hmm. Hatch Escapes. It's downtown, right? Yeah. Or like Silver Lake?
Mid-City. K-Town. Yeah.
And it was a blast. And I want to hear y'all's thoughts. Initial thoughts. Like, what was you... we'll go through step by step what we remember. But like, good times? Bad times? What was this? You hate
oh my God, it was
rooms?
A great time. It was a great time. It was
really
my second... only escape room in my entire life, and the first one I went to wasn't even in a it was in like a hotel banquet hall, and I went with a bunch of escape room enthusiasts, and I did was follow them around, because as soon as the timer started, they just grabbed all the clues and figured it out on their own.
Oh my gosh.
And I was kind of useless, so I was a little worried about this one, and then I ended up having a great fucking time with y'all, and I helped, which when
you sure
help
did.
And it does like
and
it
I
moves
help.
You forward, it's really it's really gratifying for someone like me. It's really gratifying anyway.
I mean, well, I think
it's go ahead.
Oh God. Well, I think
we're gonna
like,
say the same thing. I'm sure.
I know. I think so too. I think we. I know. I went into it with some trepidation for sure, and for similar reasons, I was like, "Don't be an idiot. Don't look like the
right.
idiot."
Yeah.
You have to participate, and then I left just being so furious because I got so into it that like when we didn't make it, spoiler alert, I was like just so upset. So upset.
Yeah.
I think I had to walk away for a moment. I like
it was soul crushing. and you know, see, to speak to what you were saying, it's a little bit like it is annoying when people come in and they're like, "We got this," you know, and they have like, the systems all like set
the
up in their mind.
The aggro escape room
we were
people.
All about teamwork.
they were very aggro.
We had no idea like how the four of us would handle it together with our different personalities energies.
Yeah.
But I thought it was honestly best case scenario for the four of us.
Yeah. Tim, had you done escape rooms before?
I'd done an escape room with you before in North Hollywood. We did Murder House and the Spaceship. And then I also did a crazy one, I think with you too, in Hollywood, didn't we? It was like an archaeological
one. Oh, the Tomb Raider one.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Oh, fun.
We did that one too.
That was like with the runaway clone cast from Fringe or something. It was like...
But it was cool. Now all of my escape room experiences have been with you. I won't go without you now.
Well, a piece of that is that I used to manage an escape room in North Hollywood. And I think you beta tested one of the rooms for me.
Oh, maybe the
manor, the murder house or whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's
what about you, Scott?
No, it's the same. Like I've been I'm good so I'm very particular about games and I'm very aware of what I'm good at and not good at. Like I'm good at trivia. I can pull out trivia. I'm good at history. But I'm not necessarily good at puzzles per se, and that kind of thing. So when I've gone in the past, it's always been sort of that anxiety of, am I just gonna look like a dumbass here? I will
Yeah,
say that
sounds like
my
we were all feeling the same
yeah,
way.
y'all, I think you are because there's a degree of, anxiety because you want to finish it, you want to have a good time along the way. But my big error was I didn't bring my glasses. And
Oh no.
so
That
I'm
explains everything.
well, because I'm because we got off to a very slow start. Once we got that pot thing with the square, the thing, the with the at the very,
The
very
fruit
beginning.
bowl. That one.
Yeah, the fruit bowl.
No, I know
I
what you're talking
think
about.
I would have figured that, I think I if I would have been able to see it, I understood what it was doing. I just couldn't see it
Yeah.
well enough to
I'm
kind of put it
so
together.
thankful for you guys because there's no effing universe where I would have gotten that bowl clue. Like,
Right. I
there's
mean, it
no
was
way.
hard. It
They
was
gave us
hard.
a clue for that. We
I
fucked around with it for 15 minutes and they were like, do you want some
It's
help?
true. You know you've started off on a bad foot when 15 minutes have passed and you're still on that first puzzle, right? And we were working on and we got what's crazy? What's crazy? Okay, so here's the thing. We have to sort of talk around this because it's we can't give away anything. Right. And I don't wanna, I will give concepts and like all that. But like basically, this first puzzle, we understood it and we were just doing it wrong. Do you remember that? We and then it was like, we know this is a language. We know, like we know that this is telling us this. We know that, but like we didn't like take the steps to just do it. And part of that, and I'll apologize for this, part of that is that I know the rules of escape rooms really well. We had to break a lot of rules of escape rooms.
Oh, yeah. I get what you're
There's
saying.
a lot of things. And like a couple of things, like at the beginning, like again, I'll talk around it, but so here's the concept. We were lab rats inside of a maze. We were human lab rats inside of a giant maze
Cage.
slash
Cage.
cage that was meant to test us, and we were being tested by, I forget his name, but I'm gonna look it up now. It was like
A
Dr.
crazy rat
Mausenstein.
scientist.
Yeah, exactly.
Who we said looked like Tim Kopasz with a rat face.
Yeah,
He was good though. Like that dude was really
He was
good.
good. No,
Tim Kopasz is someone we all know from the LA theater community. Go look him up. Apparently he looks like this guy.
Somebody
We
said it. I didn't say it in
love
the cage.
him. I don't know if we need to say it on the pod, but it's there now, so it's fine. But okay, I'm gonna read you this because his name is Ratkenstein, and I don't want to mess
That's right.
anything else up. Here we go. Lab rat takes place in a laboratory where giant rats are doing experiments on human beings, specifically you, the somewhat unhinged Ratkenstein, a doctoral student in the field of. Oh, he's not even a doctor. He's a student. In
Oh,
the
no.
field. Come on. He's in the field of human intelligence, or in his estimation, the lack thereof. He has been tasked, no, he has tasked you with completing a series of tests and puzzles. If you succeed, he can finally write his dissertation. Now, already I'm like, okay, interesting. So we're helping this guy with his dissertation. This doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound interesting. This video is playing, the makeup is weird. Tim Kopasz is running through our minds. We're watching and we're going, okay, interesting. He was a good actor. He was fine. He did his thing. And then it says, if you fail, he's going to put you and your friends in the old test subject chipper.
This was horrifying, by
Yeah. It's like a wood
the
chipper, but for test subjects.
way.
Okay. So yeah. You'll have 1 hour to complete the test and attempt to get out of the laboratory for good before Ratkenstein turns you into mulch.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, an important booking note, they can add subtract players from your booking when you arrive at Hatch.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. It just says that within the explanation. Okay, so I, nothing. That was funny.
I mean, yeah, I got you.
It went right over my head.
I think being on Zoom really ruins our, like, banter. Because the four of us, when we're together, we can just, like, go and go. Yeah. And when we're on Zoom, we're all just, like, staring at each other, like, uh-huh.
It's all right.
Can we be done?
Do we do this?
The lag is killing me. Yeah. But Lab Rats, Ratkenstein, we're doing the puzzle. There was some stuff like having to empty some water there, which they told us beforehand, but like she had set it up as like, you don't want to do too much, you don't want to do too little. So like I'm freaking out about breaking rules.
Yeah,
so
I was too.
It was weird. They made it so clear. They're like, be careful with everything in there. You know, don't
right.
just tap it. One tap will do it. Don't hit it. And then there was one part of the puzzle where we literally had to beat something. Like, yeah, in order yeah. to get it
point,
to go.
To the point that Pam is beating it. I'm beating off. I'm down.
Yeah.
See, there we go. I got
which
one.
Is frowned, which is okay. frowned upon at the escape room.
It's generally. Frowned upon in most societies, but yeah, and in escape rooms. And I'm down at the end of the maze because it's a pretty big room. Once you get out of the first cage, there's like all these little corridors and this big hallway. And I'm like at the other end of it and I just hear banging. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You should never. I used to manage an escape room. You should never. You know, like, I was
there were some points of contention. I
know,
remember
I
Bailey getting on Pam, and I was
I'm
just going to go to the other side of the corridor. Right
but
now.
No, Bailey and I did our thing where I went, they just said, Bailey, they just said. But look, the tension was high. The time was ticking. Everything,
apparently,
stakes were high.
She went over the intercom and was like, it's cool. Just like hit it really fucking hard. And I was like, I didn't hear that. So I turn around like, damn, no. She's like, she fucking told me. And I'm like, oh, God.
She's told me.
Yeah, but no points of contention in my experience. I think there was points of high tension.
That's okay. Why I was totally fine. I was totally fine with leaving you alone in that room. By yourself after that, I was like,
no,
yeah, he can hang out in here for a second and think about what he's done.
Well, he knew what
there
he
is
did.
A point, we will tell you, there is a point where it does sort of break the form really hard.
Mm.
This isn't giving anything away, I don't think.
No.
And one of you does have to stay in a room alone at one point. That was me. It was
terrifying.
I knew it was happening as it was happening. Because I'm where, so I'll just say this. It's again, it's not giving anything away. I got a message that only I could see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they got a message that only they could see. But the way that they giggled, I know exactly what's about to happen.
You knew.
And everything went dark and it was totally frightening.
Everything
and
went
I,
dark and you never woke up. You never woke up.
We did not get out. Pam was right. We did not get out. How'd y'all feel about that?
I was really kind of bummed. Sucked. I felt like I was the one pulling us back. If we wouldn't have started out, if we would have started out stronger, I could have gotten that thing. Then, but there were, what was great about it, what I really loved was watching each of us get our little moment of glory, our little minute of, I got this, I got it, I figured it out. Like, that was really fucking cool. And we all just are having fun together generally anyway.
I just get so mad at the people who made the room. Like, that's who I get mad at. Like, that.
You
like, I
want to
yell
bitches.
At them and be like, we are four smart, capable people. There is no reason why there should have been 15 minutes left for us to win. Like, I just got so mad.
Yeah.
I'm still mad.
Crazy.
I'm still riled
Man,
up.
You too. Should we burn it down?
Yeah.
No, we won't do that. That's terrible. I will say, though, I am someone who... Okay, I did read a few reviews before we went in.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them were like, this is the easier of their rooms.
F so those I was like, people. Great. Wow.
So if that's true, the other ones there must be insane.
But
hard.
I disagree because I think it just sometimes uses different parts of the brain. And for some people, sure. those parts are easier. For some, they're not as easy. But like, that doesn't mean we couldn't have done the other rooms quicker.
That's true. But I will say at the end, I'll say it. At say the it. End... He had to show us like four more puzzles. Like we weren't even close.
We were like, you were 90% of the way through. And I was like, there's no way we would have gotten this if we had 10 minutes left. Yeah. It would have taken forever.
Scott, you were talking about glory moments. I remember each of you had, I don't think I did during this section, but each of you had like incredible glory moments within the, there's this part, there's a segment where, and they tell you about this before you go in, where you're trying to get the treats to come down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they tell you they're like psychotropic treats, like they're gonna make you like hallucinate or something.
Yeah.
They were Buttermints.
They were Buttermints. But like I went in being like, wait, are they like THC? Are they shrooms? Each of you sort of had your moment of like, oh, I understand this thing and did it. When the rest of us were like, oh, I don't. Okay.
Yeah, which is why we were so complimentary with each other.
Which is why I think you're right, Pam. We would probably do really well, especially now that we've done one together and we know sort of how each other thinks. I think we would, if we had done another one that night, which it's quite expensive, so we were like, nah. But if we had done another one that night, we probably would have crushed it, even if it was.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
I
you're agree, probably right. You're
being,
right.
Being the novice in the group with this only being my second room, and it makes me want to do way more escape rooms now. I mean, and I'm sure everyone can say this, I had a really hard time thinking outside of the box of like thinking like, oh, well, we can't do that. We can't do that in this room. It reminded me of if anyone is ever in St. Louis, go to the St. Louis City Museum. It is a warehouse turned into a playground for adults. And they have things in there that stretch you physically in a way that when you look at it, you're like, I can't get through that. But then you eventually get through it.
Oh,
and then
cool.
It makes you try other things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now I want to go do every fucking escape room that ever existed because I had a great time.
Yeah,
there's definitely a language to escape rooms, you know, just like any genre of theater or performance or engagement like this. Like, it is. Like, and so to know what you can and can't do and what the extremes are, it's like pulling first letters from a word from words and putting them together to make something and figure something out. Like that's a standard, escape room thing, but.
And, And it is its own form of immersive theater. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, whether there are actors or not, it has a bit of that. And they tend to either have actors, some have live actors, but some of them have videos, some have voiceover, whatever it may be. But, the theater of this one was pretty incredible. And I don't mean the videos. I mean the things that were happening to us and around us and the set design and the...
Man, it made me wonder how long it took them to build
lighting.
That.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah. All of that was great. Like, because I've been to some chintzy ass escape rooms. Where
sure.
Like, yeah. I mean, where do you just rent a Target and then throw this in? Like, but so that was what was cool is all the stuff that was made, the water tank and all that kind of stuff was really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
The best escape room I've ever done was. Can't remember who it was now. It was some rapper who hasn't really done anything. He had a moment and then never really did anything again. I can't remember who it is. Kevin Gates. And he paired with this team. It was in North Hollywood and I beta tested the room and it was absolutely incredible. And they only ran it for like a year and then they shut it down. And it was, and apparently they bought a house and they apparently turned it into his exact house from when he was a kid in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Which he had then turned into his own like trap house, like later in his 20s and stuff. So there, it was called the Trap House, I think. Kevin Gates Trap House, something like that. And you had to go through like his Blockbuster videos, and you had to go like to find clues, and you had to, it was like very 90s, and it was super fun. And then at one point you had to like record one of his songs. You had to like learn one of his songs as a group and then record it into a mic.
Wow.
And, like, it was really fun. I mean, it was really, really cool. And it doesn't exist anymore, so I can give it all away. It was really, really awesome. But they had a PlayStation set up, an original PlayStation 1 set up at the TV. And I had found all these things on the TV and around the TV. And I was like, oh, it works. I'm going to play this. I bet there's a clue. I spent a half hour playing like Mortal Kombat, like all this stuff. No clues.
Oh no!
No!
There's nothing
so
in
funny.
There. And afterwards, when we were giving notes, I went, "What was up with the PlayStation?" And they went, "Oh, that's just to make people do exactly what you did."
You rude.
Like Tony Hawk. Like, there's got to be something if I beat level three. And it's
that's hilarious. That it makes me want to kind of come up with an escape room, like an immersive experience like that. You could, you know, and then it's just one set, and they just, you know, replace the clues for the next group, and it seems conceptually so easy, but then when you're playing it, it's like a nightmare.
When Two Cents Theater Group was a thing with Kristen Boulay, they used to, at Fringe usually, would do escape room type immersive theater.
Yes.
Specifically, the one I did that was very escape room was the, I can't remember the name of it now, but it was at a school. It was like a murder mystery.
I went to that one. I was there.
Yeah.
I was the accomplice, which was fun.
And it was like, we were trying to figure out who did it, but like you got to talk to the characters and play these little escape games and sort of figure out the ending. I think I was on the team that won. I don't remember. I remember celebrating heavily. It was fun. Those kind of things can be really incredible. And if you see something that says, I'm speaking to our listeners now, if you see something that says immersive, mm-hmm. I highly recommend you check it out. It might
Absolutely,
be the cringiest, most awkward thing ever, or it might be like Sleep No More, you know, which is it's Mackers, right?
Yeah, it's a masterpiece apparently. Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be like this fully immersive Mackers that's like hours long that you can like follow any character around this giant set and do all this, and it's supposed to be incredible.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Okay. Do y'all have anything else you want to say about Lab Rats and our experience with it?
No, that was a blast.
I'm just so glad we did it. It was great.
Yeah,
two thumbs up. Two thumbs up.
Agreed. Go check out Hatch Escapes. They're in H-A-T-C-H, like the chili. Hatch Escapes. They're in Mid-City, K-Town, something like that, Los Angeles, if you're ever in the area. Also, I want to talk a little bit. This season, like I said at the beginning, we are focusing on the intersection of film and theater. So I have a question to pose to you, because I could talk about this for hours, and I'm not going to, because it would go for hours. What are your favorite escape movies?
I'll start
for
with
example, the Saw franchise, right?
Right. Well, my favorite escape movie is Escape from Alcatraz. With
Hell
Clint
yeah.
Eastwood, but it's what I love about it is it's so detailed. Every little thing that they really did in real life, they captured in the movie. And so watching him, you know, make the fake head, and so the guards wouldn't know what's going on. How they made the rafts and all that shit was just so interesting to me. I wonder if anybody's done
and
that.
And in
I
that same vein, you have Shawshank. Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
The Great Escape.
I think like the movie Room with Brie Larson. Jacob Tremblay. Stuff like that is so, because the stakes of the situation that these two are in the room, but then also like, what's going to happen when they get out, the emotional, you know, psychological toll that it will take on them to even get out of that room for her and for the boy, because he's never been out of that room. So really, really loved that movie a lot.
It's so powerful, and it's its own version. I hate to compare it to this, but it really is its own version of Saw, for the same reason that you're saying, which is that like a lot of Saws, you have to think about, like, okay, what is that person going to do if they do get out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to function in society? Yeah. How are they going to, you know, like, and I love the Saw franchise, but it kind of poses some of those questions later. Yeah. And even when they're bad directors and they don't know what they're doing anymore and it's a mess, they pose those questions like, okay, but what does the character from the first movie look like now? You know, like, what is he doing?
And I also love like the flip escape movies. Like, what's that one where the kids go to rob the old vet and he's blind and then he turns it on them and they can't escape his house?
Don't Breathe.
Yeah,
Don't
like
breathe.
That one's a
wow,
good one
deep
too.
Pull.
Good
nice.
Movie.
Deep good movie. Yeah, yeah.
That one's a good one too.
That twist too at the end. I'm not gonna give it away, but there is a batshit twist
yeah,
at the end.
Yeah, there
of that
certainly
movie.
Is.
Yeah, it's good.
Good.
I've
Don't
forgotten
breathe,
that movie.
Good. Good
Don't
movie.
Breathe,
yeah.
Good.
Don't breathe good. Good movie.
Don't breathe.
Good. Siege.
Well,
movies.
I'm trying to think of one. I mean, I've definitely seen Shawshank and I love that movie, but like I cannot do gory horror stuff. So I've never interacted with Saw or anything like that. I will say, I think I was like 23, 24 maybe. I was in a dance theater company and we did a heist play. And the whole back half of the second act was our actual heist. And we built on, like, we were at Studio Stage on Western, which I will always love that space, even though the people that own it now are mean. But we built, like, a whole separate thing on stage on wheels that we had to climb and work through and break through walls while people on the outside were turning the contraption on stage so you could see us moving through this building we were trying
That's
to break
so
into.
Cool.
Kind of dope. Is kind of like an escape room, except that
you're trying to get in.
Yeah, or like even like weirder, like you're more in control in a heist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like somehow like you're the one creating the escape.
The room. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Weirdly. Yeah.
And then the rebuilding of the set every night before we had to do the show again. Like it was a whole thing. It was a whole
yeah.
thing. So
interesting.
Well, there's also like escape room shows like Lost, right? Where they don't really know where they are and they think they're in one place and then it's a totally different place. I love that kind of bending, you know, the atmosphere and
could we put Traitors in this category a little bit?
Yeah, it is absolutely. And like anything, and Traitors kind of fits into this weirdly, but like anything that's like a chamber piece, right, where we're like in one place, we can't really leave. Incident at Vichy, to mention another play, Arthur Miller, like we're all kind of stuck here. We want out, whether we're escaping or not. We're discussing how to get out. What do we do to get out?
Right.
What do we need to say to get out?
That's a good thought.
And Traitors is very that, where it is, it's a game. It's a Traitors, if y'all don't know, it's a TV show based on
fucking delightful.
Yeah, and it's basically the game Mafia.
I love Mafia. So,
turned into a reality show. And so it's a lot of people having to say certain things to convince other people that they are or are not a faithful. And it's very, I don't know. You know, as I do love reality TV, I know, Scott, you're not a fan of reality TV, right?
I'm just very particular about it, especially competition shows.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Right.
Because, well, primarily because Survivor and The Great Race, and that's all this cluster of producers who were Trump supporters and all that stuff. And that just turned me off to it. So, yeah.
Sure.
But listen, I watched the first season of Real World when y'all was in your diapers.
I've seen the first season of Real World.
Air Force
But you were
One,
in your
get
diapers.
Off my plane.
Get off my plane. Give me back my family. Don't look into the light, Marion.
Scott's Harrison Ford.
Oh,
it's
boy.
True. You're our Han Solo, Scott.
Oh, thanks.
Is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade a little escape roomy at the end when they're in Petra?
No.
You're right. You're right. And that's the best escape room movie. You're correct. I forgot.
Oh my God.
You have
Holy
to choose
Grail.
Wisely.
You got to get the Holy Grail. here's a question. Has anybody seen the escape room movies? There are two.
No.
I have a friend. friend in one of them.
Yeah, I think you told me that when I brought it up to you one time. Because
Christine, yeah, she's in one.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
Them.
They're both quite good.
And the Skeet Ulrich
if you like that sort of thing.
This, she's in the Skeet Ulrich one, whichever one that one
I
is.
I love Skeet Ulrich.
Are they? Is
I think that's the second
it's
one.
It's a horror remember. Flick? Oh, okay. Are they horror flicks?
It is an action thriller that has a bit of... I think they're R-rated. They might be PG-13. I don't know that they go full blood. But okay. There's a lot of... It's a lot of, like, you're in a room, and then all of a sudden, the floor turns to lava, and you have to figure that out. And, like, that kind of stuff. So it's, like, more game-based. It's, right. like, Squid Game almost. Squid Game! There's an escape
yeah.
room.
Yeah.
But... Which they made a reality show of and was actually quite compelling. But I don't remember what we were talking about. Oh, the Escape Room franchise. Yeah. The first one is good, Escape Room. And the second one is called Escape Room Tournament of Champions. And it's all of the winners of the other escape rooms are put back into a room. So they've all been there before. It's very Saw 2.
It's like the third oh, Hunger Games.
But that's what I was about to say. Fucking Hunger Games. Escape Room. Yeah. Escape
you know
Island.
What, you know what we haven't mentioned is fucking Battle Royale, man. Like that's
well,
we've got Escape
so
Room crazy vibe.
Where I was headed. Yeah. My two are Battle Royale, which is the ultimate
oh,
escape room.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Movie.
Oh, my God.
And... It was the so other intense. One is actually, I would actually argue this is the ultimate escape room movie. Never mind. Cube.
Oh, yeah.
Cube. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Cube rules. And it is harsh. I mean, it goes as far as like some of the Saw movies. Like, there are like blades cutting people up and crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But it's very much like a solve the numbers, figure out why you're all connected. Like everyone's in a cube and then you crawl, you get out of that cube, you're in another cube, you get out of that cube, you're in another cube. And then there's the sequel, obviously, Cube 2, Hypercube.
Oh, I didn't care for Hypercube. I thought it was...
No, it's bad.
It was bad. Thank
it
you.
Was derivative.
it was derivative. It was too hyper.
I think one of the most intense escape room movies is Baz Luhrmann's The Great Gatsby, because how do we escape... watching it.
Actually, I hate that.
Yeah,
damn that Tobey Maguire.
We'll say, just because you said this is interesting. We just at Northern Stage, where I'm working now, just did The Great Gatsby as a co-pro with Literature to Life, and it was a verbatim recitation of the book cut down to 90 minutes. Performed by a single black man as every role.
Whoa.
And wow.
And it was profound.
Sure.
Absolutely incredible. The performer, Bryce Foley, was incredible. Look out for him. He's about to blow up. It was really, really great. And it was like the themes of privilege and everything just highlighted, spotlighted, amplified times a billion. Really great work. I don't really like The Great Gatsby. Mm. As a book, even I get it, and I you know,
yeah, same.
Fitzgerald is, you know, does his thing, and I think it's fine, but I don't like it.
It's been decades
since
I've read it. I don't remember it.
Like either movie, I think the Baz movie is bad, just like Pam was saying. But this was really great, so it made me reconsider it a little bit. Okay, Battle Royale, Cube 2, Hypercube. There was also like a third and a fourth Cube. All horror movies are escape rooms in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. Every slasher film is trying to escape Jason, trying to escape your dreams, you know, trying to escape falling asleep.
Cabin in the Woods.
Barbarian.
Such a good one. I love Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, Barbarian is an escape room.
I love Barbarian.
Oh, shit. 100%. 100%.
That
rules. Oh, God, I love that movie. I'm going to watch it tonight. It's midnight here, and I'm going to watch it tonight. Right. Okay. Is there anything else we want to do? Anything else we want to say?
No.
Make this one tight.
Yeah.
Want to do some spotlights real fast?
Let's do some spitlets. Now, before you drop that dope-ass stinger.
Yeah.
Spotlight anything you want, because LA theater is great, but I'm not there right now. So if you got
yeah.
anything
oh, no.
that's
yeah,
not we, LA, we can also throw yeah, that kind of stuff out.
Absolutely. Shout it all out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All it's right. still the LA spotlight. Let's hear it.
LA spotlight.
Woo. All right. Ladies first.
I'll go.
Okay. So then, oh, go ahead.
The Body's Midnight at Boston Court. I'll start again. The Body's Mid.
You body's what?
Never mind. Bailey. Go ahead, Pam.
Go Bailey. CJ, Sage.
What?
The Body's Midnight at Boston Court. I auditioned for this way back in January and can confirm that it's a very cool script. Definitely have to check it out. Brand new thing. It's going through May 26th. BostonCourtPasadena.org. They didn't call me back, but I can confirm it's a good script.
Pam?
Oh, this is so unexpected. So the Interact Theater Company is presenting a play called The Climb, and it's a world premiere production. And my good friend Samantha Rosentrader has been cast in it. And you can look it up on Broadway World. It's on Broadway World right now. I wish I could be out there to see it. I think it's in Pennsylvania.
All right.
The Interact Theater Company. But I'm really proud of her. And she does a ton of great work. She worked with the director and writer of Almost Maine in their off Broadway production of it. And she's just so great. And I love her. And she was the original Melissa, older sister in Chekhov. And we did it in New York.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
I will start hyping the shit out of our three fringe shows. My three fringe shows. So I'm producing three fringe shows for Sacred Fools. One of them is called Tight Five. It is by Byron Cooley. It's Sydney Edwards. And it's about one man's journey to find himself through stand-up comedy and the trials and tribulations that he has to deal with as a black man in the entertainment and theater world, and it's really funny and really punch in the gut awesome. Next up, I am producing another one called The Planet Earth Farewell Concert, starring the one and only CJ Merriman, also choreographing for this thing, and it's Planet Earth's final farewell concert before she she dies. And it's sketch,
bye.
It's variety, it's musical, but it's really fun and really engaging, interesting piece of theater written and directed by Jonas Oppenheim. And then finally, I am producing and also directing a play by Pam called This Show is Surrounded by True Events, concept by Pam and Bailey. So, like, yeah. Man, we're all in on it, and we're directing that right now. We just spent 3 days rehearsing together, but it's going amazingly well, and I'm really excited for everybody to see all three of the shows. Check out for more information at the Hollywood Fringe site or at sacredfools.org. Bailey.
Yes. Edge.
Yeah, I want to shout out if you're around the Vermont area. Come
yeah.
see something at Northern Stage.
Yeah.
Also, a dear friend of mine, Tatum Langton, someone who I've been in a few short films with, and I've seen her perform, and she's incredible, and ex-Mormon who is, you know, has a one-woman show about getting out of that and all this crazy. So she's amazing. But she's performing at the Odyssey Theater Thursday, Friday, and Saturday through May 25th.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show called Ophelia by Stephen Marks. I'll read this to you real quick. A woman is moving into memory care and wants her middle-aged son to procreate before she goes. But she's starring in that, and they're already getting great reviews, and she reached out and I was like, crap, I'm not there, I'm so sorry. So I'm shouting it out here in case anybody can make it out to that. And then, yeah, I'm tripling down, doubling down on go see Fringe stuff and go see This Play is Surrounded by True Events. I can't speak to anything else that we talked about, but I know this one very well. And it's a phenomenal script with phenomenal performers and a phenomenal director and producer team. And it's going to be fantastic. CJ, I'm sure all the stuff you're doing is fantastic because you're in it.
Oh, well, that's nice.
But she's everyone else probably
kicking
sucks.
Ass.
I'm kidding.
She's kicking ass.
Oh, wait, I wanted to shout out my other play at Fringe. It's called
Fuck Yeah.
Black Tie. It's called Black Tie and a Pretty Dress. It's a 1-hour rom-com. It's like a collection of scenes that all are about getting ready for formal events, going to, leaving formal events, and they all kind of tie together at the throughout the whole show. But I actually wrote it for my boyfriend for Christmas because he saw me working on the other show, This Show Is Surrounded, and was just kind of like, I want to do a Fringe show. So I was I'll write you one. So I wrote it.
Dream woman over here decided to do it.
It's
really cute. It's light, it's fun, it's a light hour, and it's Heather Roberts' directorial debut.
Yes.
She's doing a great job, and the cast is really, really great, and I'm stoked. Right on.
Sweet.
Hell yeah. We appreciate y'all joining us for this very special episode. And Pam, we appreciate you joining us.
So happy to be here.
So
I've missed you guys. Missed this.
Yeah.
Missed y'all too. It's tough being away.
Yeah.
We miss the shit out of you, Bailey.
Yeah, I really do.
Okay. We have a whole list of things that we want to do this season. Is there anything that's calling to you guys? I want to do this next week. Can I make a pitch? What are y'all feeling? I mean, should I?
I still want to do our most overrated plays, but we don't have to do that next week.
Oh.
Yeah, That's interesting. I think keeping with the film topic of the season, I think we should choose from that list we made the other day, which I will text you guys.
Please.
Why don't we, okay, let's choose. And Pam, you get final vote. The two of you choose between, do you want to do Bathtubs Over Broadway or Synecdoche, New York?
Bathtubs.
Scott?
Synecdoche.
Quinn?
I'm right here. What are they about? What's the deal?
Bathtubs Over Broadway is a documentary about this concept from the maybe 40s, 50s, 60s, where they were making musicals just for brands. Like, it'd be like a musical
corporate theater.
Yeah, it was like about a family, but it was just for to promote Colgate.
Okay, got it.
But it's a really good doc, and so we would watch that and then discuss it.
It's a great doc, so I'm not mad.
Really good doc. And then the other movie is a Philip Seymour Hoffman, like
Charlie Kaufman.
Kind of like deep Charlie Kaufman, like make you think epic about a man trying to recreate his life on stage.
I get to make the final call?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is so much pressure. They both sound great. Very different episodes of this podcast.
Yes.
To be clear, my vote is for both. That's why you're making the. I love them both.
I'm good.
Okay, there was one that kind of hooked me, and I'm gonna say the bathtubs. I think you should go with
the
bathtubs.
We'll do Bathtubs Over Broadway.
I think that's quite easily findable on a streaming service. We'll figure out where it is, but let's all watch Bathtubs Over Broadway and record in the next couple of weeks, and we'll post every other week. How about that, listeners?
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So, Pam, if you ever want to join us again, or if you want to watch Bathtub and join us for that, you're absolutely welcome.
I love being invited.
Always. We stand a legend. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you later. CJ.
Do you all have questions or comments? Please reach out to us via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or email. Scott?
Thank you so much, CJ. A big shout out to Ryan Thomas Johnson, who writes our theme song. Our theme song's better than your fucking theme song.
Bitch.
Yeah. He also writes all of our stangers. Start calling them stangers. And he's also musical director for the show that CJ is choreographing for Fringe. So, yeah, it's a whole bunch of stuff going on. We're all connected. And then finally to the award-winning brilliant playwright Eugene Ionesco, who writes every one of our episodes and doesn't even know it.
My God, you guys hear that rhinoceros go by earlier?
Thank you.
Yes.
And one day, you and Jeannie and Esco, in hell, we will buy you a drink.
Do you do that at the end of every episode, Scott?
Well, we change
just
it.
Just for this season.
This season's Ionesco. Last season was Pinter.
And then Baker, right?
We did Carol Churchill for a season. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it.
Yes.
Bailey.
Subscribe, rate, review. It really does help.
Beautiful.
When
cut.
Tomorrow comes, I'll be on my own, feeling frightened. Other things I don't know. When tomorrow comes, when tomorrow comes, when tomorrow comes. What's that from?
I don't know. I don't have a clue.
It's from Pitch Perfect 2. I'm doing original songs from movies.
Pitch Perfect 2?
No. Right. Yeah, it was on the other day. So I...
You watched.
Look around me and see a sweet light. You're my flashlight. Getting me through the night. Kickstart my heart and you're shining my eye. Can't lie, it's a sweet light.
Great.
It's a Jesse J song that they repurposed to act like it was a song written by Haley Steinfeld. It didn't make any sense. It was a really bad movie, and Elizabeth Banks should probably stop directing films. Bye!
Later, Cocaine Bear was so good!
I like Cocaine,
Cocaine Bear.
Bear
was fine.
The theater! The theater! Sing it, Louie!
Theater.